Hey guys, what's up? It's Drake from The Clash Room back again with another episode. And this episode is not as special as last episode. It's kind of redundant, but here we are. Datsun is back with me. So Datsun, how are you doing?
Good, Drake. How are you?
I am great. And I'm loving your new mic or headphones or whatever you did. Sounds way better. And you're not quite so loud, so that's really good for this.
Yeah, I went to Walmart and I really upgraded. I went from $10 Bluetooth up to $20 Bluetooth.
And you sound twice as good. I mean, that's how it should work.
That's value. I don't care what you call it. That's value to me.
Yeah. So anyway, today we're just going to get through some stuff we're doing in game and then get to a new segment on this, which is just kind of general stuff about life and some stuff about finance. And Datsun, you want to go ahead and introduce what that segment is called?
That will be called Extra Credit.
All right, so please stick around for Extra Credit, which we'll do after the Clash of Clans-related talk. So first thing, I am learning a new strategy, which I don't do often, but I'm doing it right now, and I am learning like the current Dragbat kind of. It's one of the metas. It's pretty awesome. So have you ever used Dragbat? Have you ever used dragons or bats? What are your thoughts?
No, I love the bats. They're... We talked about them a little last time. I mean, they can really mess a base up pretty quick if you can time them right. But I've never really seen people matching them with just regular dragons. I did a lot of dragons back at, what, Town Hall 8 or 9? Do dragons just dominate? I haven't really messed with that much.
Yeah, so basically how this strat works is, and I'll just kind of lay it out, and I know it's a little hard to do this without visuals, but you want to... There's kind of two ways you can do it. You always are suing your heroes, normally with an ice golem or two to protect them and a wall breaker if you want it, depending on if you want them to walk or go in. And then the main variation in the two different kinds of attacks is, one, you use the blimp. You always use a blimp, but there's two different ways to use it. One is to send it in if you can get good value on a scattershot and a multi or a wizard tower and something like that. Just because the splash damage is so huge for the bats that if you can get that, it's worth more. That splash damage is worth more than point defenses, which you would normally prioritize. So,
Out that thing that's going to cram on you.
Yes, exactly. So one way is to do it like that and use that ahead of your bats and your dragons. And then the other way is to just do your sui with your heroes and your king. It's just your king, your queen, and your royal champion. And then you send the blimp with the main dragon army, and you want to start it opposite from the town hall, and you use the warden ability right as the blimp is getting to the end of the warden circle as it heads towards the town hall. And it basically acts as like an immortal tank because it goes through, pulls all the traps, locks, gets the infernos to lock onto it, and basically protects your drags for, you know, 7.5 seconds or whatever it is for the warden. So I've been doing both
and
of them.
That thing.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and that thing goes so fast, it's going to go right across there, and it'll cover a lot of ground while you have that warden ability activated.
Yeah, it really does. It covers, I mean, basically, if you time it right, the warden ability takes it the whole way across the base. So you can go, like, the long side and still have no problem getting the whole way through. So I've mainly been using the other one where you use the blimp with the sui just because... It creates the pathing so much better, and since I'm not a pro who can, you know, aim my king exactly where I want him and that kind of stuff, the pathing is huge for me if I can just clear a big chunk of the base. And always what you're trying to do with the pathing is get it down to as skinny of a row of buildings as possible. So you'd love if it's, like, only 4 or 5, you know, buildings wide for most of it. It can, you know, kind of blossom out at the end. But so that's what I'm doing right now. I've tried it in war. I've failed. I had a 1-star and a couple 2-stars. I have not tripled with it in war yet. But so are you?
So
still...
now with your heroes, are you suing them just on opposite sides to take out trash? Or are you trying to wall break like the queen in to get maybe like an air defense?
So my strategy is to go for more than I can actually get with the heroes and have it fail and then try and get 1-star out of it. So that's what I'm doing most of the time. But I normally keep them on the same side and I try and thin down more of one side of the base instead of like walking them on each side. I don't know. I feel like if you do it right, it's more powerful because you get into the base and like into the actual meat of the base where you can get a lot of the defenses.
Yeah. the king's going to take out some of the main trash, and then he's sort of tanking for the queen along with the ice golem, and she's penetrating a little bit more to get some more value.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's right. And the ice golems do crazy tankage because the freeze is so wide that they take out a bunch of defenses, especially if they're ahead of the other stuff. So that's what I've been rocking.
Now, would you ever use maybe like the super troop, like the ice golem, to be able to tank in the center for your dragons?
You mean the ice hound?
I'm sorry. Yes, the ice hound.
So I have not tried that yet. It's just so much space. And if I want to do a good Sui, it's what's left over is 10 dragons, 5 healers, maybe a couple wizards or something. Or not 5 healers, I'm sorry, 5 balloons. I don't know why I said healers. A couple wizards or something like that. So, I mean, 8 dragons, you could just roll with 8 dragons and 1 ice hound. Now you got me saying it. And I don't know, it might work. That would be an interesting way to do the same kind as you do with the blimp tanking, but instead use the ice hound. I don't know. I might have to try that, see if it works.
Yeah. What are you putting in your blimp? What's going in the siege?
It is anything in the air. I mean, okay, so it's different, I guess, depending on which one you're doing. For when you're going for the funnel and trying to take out a scatter or something like that, you mainly want loons or loons and a dragon. If you're going for the town hall, 2 yetis and whatever else is probably the safest bet. And you normally rage, so they definitely get it. So it just depends. In war, I actually decide, depending on how I'm using it. The other times, I've just taken loons and a dragon, because that's kind of more versatile. It normally gets the town hall if you rage it. A sweeper can screw it up, but it normally gets it. And for a scatter, it does a pretty good job.
Could you fit 2 yetis and a super valk? I forget how many spaces they are, because I need to get the free rage.
So they're 20 space. So you could do...
Oh, they are. Okay, yeah.
What I could do is 5 balloons and a super valk, except nobody has super valk. So, but I could try that. That's actually not a bad idea at all.
So many guys are 13 now with extra DE that I'm sure they wouldn't care to grab them.
Yeah, but I feel like everyone just makes super wall breakers and like super minions and super wizards, but I could definitely get Buckle in the name of to pull those for a couple days just to try them. I might try that. It's not a bad idea.
Just a thought. I don't know.
I mean, I feel like I have those thoughts and then I go try them and I'm like, this has to work. It just makes so much sense. It doesn't, but I tried it.
That's the tricky part. Learning new strats. Like you watch somebody else do it on YouTube or somebody in the clan and they just do it and you're like, wow, that looks so easy. And then you do it and you get the 1-star and you're like, wait a minute, there's more to it than this.
Yeah, no, I was teaching Ace from our clan kind of how I do my Town Hall 10 Lalo strat. And like he was just struggling a little bit to get it. He did get it eventually, but it's like second nature to me at this point. And I don't always 3-star, but I'd say 80%+ of the time I'm getting 3-stars. So it was a little like the opposite side. I was the pro just for a few seconds of my life watching someone else. And it's just like the stuff I don't even think about anymore. Like, you know, how I funnel the P.E.K.K.A. exactly how, like with 2 wizards, it's just such second nature, but you kind of see it. And I have to say having someone like, if I had Eric from Clash with Eric there with me pointing out, no, you funneled the P.E.K.K.A. the wrong way. That's why this didn't work. It'd be a lot easier.
Yeah, real-time feedback. Yes. And that's why I think like trying to teach somebody the hybrid or homies, it seems simple at its face, but there's actually a ton of like intricate things to it.
Yeah, I mean, I could do a whole podcast on Queen Walk, just like...
Yeah.
Because there's so many ways it can go wrong. There's so many variations. There's so many different... You know, people who like to throw a bunch of spells and funnel troops and stuff at their queen walk to get the most value. People who just want to get whatever value they can for free. Like, it's just, it's a game within the game when you're trying to learn how to do queen walks.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah,
so,
I've been trying to do it, a P.E.K.K.A. bow bat, because Solemn does it just flawlessly so many times. And I just struggle with getting the P.E.K.K.A.s to funnel in to the base because you don't have a lot of troops for cleaning up trash to funnel them. And so many times now I'm losing them and they're going around the outside.
And P.E.K.K.A.s on the outside are absolutely useless.
Yeah. They take forever and it's just like, ugh. And then I just because I find if you try to stagger them, if you can do like the Pekkas when there's multi-infernos and scatters, or bats with witches when there's singles, and trying to trade off that by reading the base.
Yeah, no, you can definitely get by with, like, if you have one good air strategy, you know, if it's drags or Lala, or even a good E-drag spam, and then, like, two ground strategies, one for when there's multis, one for singles, you really can get by any base.
For sure.
So when you're doing that, are you funneling with a Warden Walk, or are you just using Wizards or Boulders or something?
Usually what I'll do is I'll start the queen at a corner, so she walks towards the middle, and then I'll start the king on the other side, and I try to get the queen with the Pekkas and the Warden and the Boulders to go through the middle, and use the Wall Wrecker, not the War Wagon, to set the funnel by breaking in through the middle.
Yeah, so your queen is your main funnel.
Yeah, she gets it started. Okay. For sure.
Interesting. All right, so the next thing I have for us to talk about is we had a perfect war, but it was like more than a perfect war, because not only did we have every possible star, the other clan had zero stars. So it was like the perfect, perfect war. So I actually was not in this war, but Datsun, you want to like kind of give us a play-by-play of when did we realize that this other clan was stupid and we were going to have the perfectest, perfect war ever?
Yeah, it was really funny. We kind of came out guns blazing. We had a slight advantage, I think, on a lot of their bases were rushed. And I think that's what really obviously helped us get all, I think it was 60 stars. I think it was a 20v20.
Okay.
But, yeah, and I mean, a lot of times, you know, you'll face a clan where they're just in another part of the world. So maybe they're all sleeping and they're not attacking. You know, hour 12 rolls around and they still haven't attacked any, and we've already gotten the perfect war, you know, and then there's 6 hours left and you're like, okay, what's going on? And then they just never attack. So it was like, is it double perfect?
So do you remember, just on like the time zone thing, do you remember, was it a Indian, Asian, whatever named clan, or was it like a English named clan?
Yeah, it was an Arabic named clan.
Okay. So yeah, that's probably what was going on. They're probably, or at least it would have made sense to presume that's what was going on until they didn't attack. Who starts a war and doesn't attack? Like, what's the point?
Yeah, not even once. Because I thought it was funny because, you know, it was all these different people and nobody attacked. Versus, like, months ago, we had a war where I think every single player in the war, it was like a 15v15, or it was a smaller one, but every single one, I think, was an alternate account. So it was, like, all this one guy.
Yeah.
And he ended up beating us.
I mean, you know that person's serious. Like, you're not going to be some noob with 18 accounts.
You are your own clan.
Yeah. Hey, I'm getting up there with my, like, 6 accounts, which I'm only playing 2 of because I got overwhelmed with too much stuff happening. But
I just can't imagine donating troops to myself and just that mess.
It's beautiful. I become self-sufficient. As long as except for Drake. I, of course, has to still request troops for Drake because I can't donate max troops to my town hall 10s. But, so yeah, that was fun. I was on the peripheral, you know, just kind of looking in on that war, but it seemed like it was pretty cool. A bunch of people got to attack whoever because we perfect warred them so quickly. So next thing is, did you do the Hog Mountain Challenge?
I did.
Okay. How many times did it take, Datsun?
A lot. And I was like thinking I was just terrible or something, because I'm asking everybody in chat, like, hey, how'd you guys do on Hog Mountain? They're like, oh, it took me a couple times. And in my mind, a couple is 2 times. A few is 3. And everyone's like, oh, it took me a couple. And I'm like, baloney, because I must have tried it 30 times before I ever got it. And it was a struggle. I don't know. I'm just terrible, I guess.
Yeah, so did you turn to YouTube to get the answer, or did you just fight it out?
Yeah, I did, and that wasn't working. And I was just like, all right, time to just start trying things.
So what'd you finally do? Do you remember what you finally did to get it?
I do. I think it was Judo Sloth. I was trying to watch his thing, and his was way more intricate, and mine was much more sloppy in the final execution. But what I did is at about the 2 o'clock, you send in one sneaky gob, to go after. There was a mine right there, and then he trips the. There was a booby trap, spring trap. So you send one in. He takes care of the spring trap. Then you send four in with a hog, and that pulls the dragons all out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you dropped your queen. I think with the heat, there was healers with the warden. And then you're raging her and then freezing the dragon. So she takes care of all of them. And then they came down and started funneling counterclockwise around. And I dropped the hogs to try and go get the single infernos. And then after they were gone, I used the balloons. And then Royal Champion at about, I don't know, three quarters of the way through to really weaken everything. And then just slowly dropping the invisibilities and freezes as need be.
Okay, so, I mean, clearly, like, no matter how you're doing, it's going to involve a queen walk. But I did it a little bit differently. So I used, I don't know, maybe this was a stroke of genius, maybe this was a waste. But I used one of the goblins to pull the traps at the town hall, just like Judo or you, whoever it was. And then mm-hmm. I used the other four to activate the town hall. And then I used a rage and four of the five balloons, and that cleared the town hall. So I had that space, and then it also drew the CC or whatever, all the dragons and the bats. And then I dropped my queen, warden, and my RC all over near where the king was, like kind of straight off to the right, or top maybe. And a couple spells and rages, freezes, whatever. They took out the main army, or all the CC troops. They took the king. I dropped my king over to the left to take care of the queen. And then I basically just let my queen and RC and warden go around the entire base, throwing in some other troops as I was going. And it was like, it ended up not being that close, but there were a couple times where my Royal Champion and my Queen both got down to like 5 HP because a single targeted them and I had bad time with my spells, or perfect timing with my spells, depending on how you want to look at it. But I had a great time with it. I love the rewards. One thing I found was on my mini accounts, especially my really little ones, the 2 million gold is like a huge thing. Like, that's a world changer. So I maxed of the walls on all of my mini accounts just doing that challenge, which was amazing.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Well, walls are like, I don't know, 10,000. So I'm not a math person, but 2 million divided by 10,000 is a lot.
Yeah. And then, do you have gold pass on those minis too?
I don't. No, I only buy the gold pass for my main account.
Oh, man. Imagine if they had 20% discount as well.
Oh, yeah. I would have been able to max the whole thing is like instantly. But also, if I bought the gold pass for all my accounts, I wouldn't be able to eat. So that wouldn't quite be worth it. Although at least it would help me reach my health goals. Maybe I should do that. Maybe that should be my diet plan.
Double win.
Buy 10 gold passes.
There you go. It's only $50.
Yeah. That's a lot. I can't believe we spend money on this fake world to get extra fake stuff. It's crazy.
I don't have many other like vices. This is my one vice. I really don't drink, so this is my one little treat.
Are you saying Clash is like drinking, basically?
Yeah, because it takes up all my time, and my wife hates it when I do it.
Yeah. Hey, I think this metaphor is working.
Except you can't drink with your kids, and I can clash with my kids.
Now, see, not with that attitude, you can't drink with your kids, Datsun. Another thing I wanted to kind of touch on here is, so we've kind of been rebuilding our clan since it split, and we're starting to finally get back like a bunch of active people and kind of like the atmosphere again. So would you say, like, if you had to label our clan on a scale of 1 to 10, like 1 is the clan that warred and didn't use any of the attacks, and then 10 is like a pro clan, like where are we on the war clan spectrum?
I don't know, like, I'm not super familiar with, like, pro clans and war clans, but, I mean, I'm going to break it into two things. Like, in our kind of intensity for war, I'd say we're probably, like, an 8, and we're not, like, no BS, but clan, like, seriousness, it's a solid 6.5, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you get your war attacks in and you're not doing something dumb, you're fine. But if you are going way under your weight or you're just scouting for no reason to rob loot, you're probably just going to get kicked out, no questions asked. And if you miss attacks, you're going to get kicked out. And if you're a low base and you don't get both attacks in by X amount of time, you're getting kicked out. Like, we don't have room for that. And I think that's always been really good mentality to have.
Yeah, so how I see it is, like, we're an 8 in, or a 7 or 8 in, like, intensity and what we want to do. And then we're, like, a 5 in actual skill of attackers.
I feel like.
Because we have, like, this grand plan. Some people will sometimes, like, war general. And then we get down to it and, you know, 2 stars derail us and we kind of crash and burn. But, I mean, it's not that we... And what ends up happening because of that is that the couple wars where, you know, we have all of our 13s having good days, we kill people and we just blow them out of the water. And then the next time, you know, we leave, we don't triple a single 13 and we leave 1 or 2 lower bases, you know, untripled, and we don't clean up. So, and also I feel like it changes. Like, 1 or 2 players, like Baby Yoda or Baba, whatever we're calling him, has really helped us improve just because he's always on and he can offer strategies and stuff. So that's been a huge help. But, like, 1 or 2 people can really change it.
Yeah. He's a great wealth of knowledge. Just his delivery of information could sometimes be a little less crass.
Yes, it could. I'm not sure. I don't think he could make it that way. I think that's just how he is. But it definitely could be helpful if he were sometimes not sarcastic.
Yeah, but he's like Buck's angrier foreign brother.
Yeah, I think that's a good explanation. Much angrier.
Yeah, his track record does not surprise me.
Yeah, seriously. We won't get into that, but he's definitely, he's got a strange history. Yeah.
But it's interesting, like, he lives a different Clash world than I ever have or will. Like, it's interesting seeing him, like, inviting people into the clan that will just stop by that are just like max 13s that he used to play with or something like that, or that are other real good players, and they'll stop by just to kind of BS for a little bit and then they hop back out, you know. Yep. It's just interesting to see.
And they often come in and just chat for like 20 minutes all in Arabic and I have no idea what the heck's going on.
Like,
hey, it's an English speaking clan. I think I threatened to kick him the one day, just giving him a hard time. But
oh yeah, and he's super funny. You have to be able to take a joke in our clan, and it gets wildly inappropriate if Buck and Floyd are on talking stuff, but it's all in fun.
It's always Floyd.
Yeah.
Floyd and anyone, it just gets a little bit raunchy. Not PG. Yeah.
But, and then I think it kind of alludes to like the feel of the clan and even like our vetting process. I remember joining and I was like, what is going on here? And it was like this intense sort of thing, and then like now that I've seen it hundreds of times, it's like it's such a perfectly simple and to the point but gets what you need done like art of a question. It's really funny.
Yeah, I mean, clearly I assume it was Buck was the origin, and we shouldn't say what it is just in case we ever have someone joining up. We don't want it to be prepared, because that would kind of throw off the whole point. But
Don't think it was Buck, because Buck was talking to somebody, or it might have been Baby Yoda was talking to somebody that was in years ago, and they even said, like, we still use your questioning system to this day.
Huh.
And it was really interesting to hear, like, oh, that came from an outside person that's no longer here.
Well, it seems like something that Buck would have come up with.
Oh, very much so, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, that's great. And it's a great way, because, like, sometimes it's hard to kick people if they respond incorrectly, because it's like they didn't do anything wrong. They just didn't do the right thing.
Well, and it's like there is no wrong answer. It's only if we ask you, like, what's 2 plus 2 and you say boat.
Yeah, right. Like, they can't have a wrong answer, but they can have a bad answer.
Yeah.
And most it's commonly we just get no answer.
It's pass or fail.
Yeah.
It's pass or fail.
It is, exactly.
That makes it nice.
We do sometimes give, like, the not quite pass, not quite fail. It's like, well, you seem like you're there, but We'll give you a couple weeks to see how you are in, you know, once you get comfortable. And like people and don't say anything, like you're not looking for a real clan if you join and don't even say hi.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I was going through and giving everybody their promotions for clan games. And it was interesting to see how many people are in the clan that I haven't seen or talked to in a long time. Because we have a lot of people that play a lot but don't say anything. And that are kind of active but don't say anything, like Rudd the Killer, Bob, and a few other people, C-Fame. There's so many that just don't really talk, but they're in every single war getting all their attacks in.
Yeah, and they're decent attackers. They're just not in chat. And, like, I don't know. I feel like chat is why I play the game. Like, if there was no chat, I would probably quit. It's a little bit hyperbolic, but that's true. Like, that's what I live for.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I love, like, hanging out. And, I mean, if no one's going to give me a hard time after I fail a war attack, like, what's the point of even doing a war? This sounds great. We should get rid of chat. I want Buck to stop giving me a hard time after I dip fail. So speaking of, you mentioned clan games in there. So did you max clan games yet, or are you going to?
I'm on Clash now. I got number 5 in the clan for completion.
I don't even know what number I got. It wasn't that high.
Which account, nerd? You are 13 on Drake.
13, okay. See, I like, whenever I check it, it's always one or two people. And if I can't be first, I'm just as happy being second as I am being 15th. So, like, if I see I'm not going to be first, I just kind of say screw it and I'll get it done when I get it done. So,
yeah.
That's why I never really tend to max it out anymore, because the time zones don't work out for me to be able to be competitive with a couple of the top guys.
Yeah, I never worry about when I do. I just try to do it earlier so I get the better stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely, like, if you can get the builder-based challenges, you're set.
Yeah, and that's mostly what I just bang out. Go kill 10 air defenses or labs or blow up 150 wall pieces. It's like, okay, piece cake.
Yeah, and I love when you get one of the gold clan games, and it's like, I got one on one of my Town Hall 10s, Adron, where it was, I want to say it was 1,000 points for 350 builder-based walls. It was crazy.
That's nuts.
And it was just like, I think that clan, that one's in the Crystal to Join clan, and I assume their limit is like, you have to get 1,000 clan games. So I was just like, all right, I'm done. I'm not maxing this one out. It was
one and done.
Yeah, it was very nice.
Well, I think that's another thing that speaks to our clan mentality is there's no freeloaders. Like every clan games, we send out a thing that says no freeloaders. If you participate, you have to get a minimum 1,000 points. And I think that's completely fair.
Yeah, I mean, and 1,000 points, I can literally, without potions or boost or anything, I can go crank out 1,000 points in like 15 minutes. In the time it takes to poop. Like, that's literally how easy it is.
Oh, for sure. And we're more than double the requirement right now of what it takes to max clan games. So.
Yeah. Yeah, clan games are, I remember they were like a big deal. Like, we got to get everyone to max them back in when I was in like some, you know, less serious clans and we only had maybe 20 members. But now clan games are just like, I take it for granted that they're going to be maxed. I take it for granted that I'm going to max them. It just kind of happens if you pay attention.
Okay, this is funny. So in clan chat, Duff Dog literally just wrote, we completed clan games twice.
Oh, wow. Like, yeah.
Like, right as I said it, that's really funny.
Yeah. And our clan chat, I love our clan chat. Because, I mean, I know we have a bunch of inactive people who, like, are active but not in the chat. And still, like, there's a bunch of people. I'd say we have 10 solid people. Because you've got, like, J4 or J6 or whatever his name is, VI. Some Roman numerals. You know, he's always chatting and saying stuff and telling us which strategy can easily 3-star every Town Hall 13. So, like, he's in there all the time. You and Buck are in there all the time. Itno, in the name of, he's pretty active. He'll respond if you ask him a question. He probably won't just join in the general discussions. And then,
solid, like, lurker.
Yes, he is. He is a lurker. If ever, like, I see someone's on in the clan, but no one's talking, because I always check my friends list, like, yep, it's him. And he's on a lot. Like, he's not on as much as he used to be, but he's just always there, always lurking.
I really liked when they updated the social, when you could see when your friends are online with the green dot. I really like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because then I can single people out and I know exactly when they're on. And I know. Be like, dude, donate me some spells.
It's much harder when someone puts out a donation request. It's like, I might feel that, I might not. And then someone's like, hey, Drake, can I have donations? And I'm like, I got to do it now. Freaking guilt trip.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I always just hop on and I just pour out the donations. I think I buy at least the 2,500 gem pack once a month, probably.
Wow. Yeah, I never buy gems, so I'm always at between 0 and 8 gems just from donating. I live on the edge.
Next time I get a big paycheck, I'll PayPal you some gem money.
Just Bitcoin me some gem money.
Oh, dude, that's way easier. But how are you going to buy it with Bitcoin?
The one service I use, you can buy Google Play cards directly at no fee.
Well, now we got it all figured out. All
right, great.
I just got to wait for Bitcoin to come back.
I know. Seriously. You know what? So I think we're about ready to wrap things up. Datsun, do you have anything else Clash, not life related, that you want to bring up before we turn to extra credit?
I am officially a max Town Hall 12.
Very nice. That's not an easy thing to do.
Asterisk walls, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, I don't even count walls.
But I'm a stickler for the details. But we got CWL starting here in a couple of days, so we'll spin us up, and then once we're confirmed, then I'll probably upgrade with a book or a hammer, so then we get a smidgen of advantage.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, anything like that is helpful, especially a 12 to 13 is a pretty big jump when you get the Royal Champion and the extra CC space and all that camp space. So that'll be huge. Because we'll roll, what, 6 deep 13s now? I think 5 or 6.
I don't know where some of our guys went and if they're going to come back for CWL. Like, we used to have Pacos. I don't know if Buck still gets to use that one or not. Yeah. Because
what do we have? We have me, Buck, Itno, Solem, and then you. So that's 5. I think there's one more that I'm missing. I forget who it is.
I don't remember. There's a couple sleepers.
Yeah, and you'll probably just be, like, dipping for the first couple months of being a 13, just because that's kind of how it ends up being.
Yeah, it all depends on how the matchups go. We got, I think, EDR is another
one. Yeah, that's
one.
Right, EDR.
TNT.
Man, these guys need to be more active or something.
Yeah, and I mean, none of them were super chatty to begin with, but I just hope they get back in the swing. I mean, it happens. Everybody kind of goes through Clash Drought.
Oh, yeah. I'm very familiar with Clash Drought. All right. So thank you all for listening, and we're going to stay around for another couple minutes of extra credit. So we'll see you there. Bwah, bwah, bwah. I don't know. I'll add something in there. Anyway. Or maybe I won't. I'm just leaving this. I'm not cutting it. Anyway.
I like it.
Okay. So extra credit. One thing, I think normally I'm going to make this something about like finance type stuff. I didn't prepare anything for this week, but I will give a teaser. Next time I record, I'm just going to do something like Bitcoin. I'm just going to kind of explain Bitcoin generally for those who don't know what's up with it, have heard about it, are interested. I'll explain it for those who aren't interested, and you will become interested. so I'm going to do that next week. But for this week, I've just got some general life stuff to talk about. But before I do that, Datsun, what is going on in your life aside from Clash?
Aside from Clash, here in the Midwest, it's starting to warm up a little bit. We've had like a heat wave. We went from negative 30s to like 30, 40 degree weather. So it was literally a 70 degree swing in temperature. So that's kind of neat. Been trying to ski with my daughter more. And I ate it pretty good trying to be cool. So now I'm trying to rehab my body by going to the gym. I bought myself a gym membership and getting on a diet.
Oh, good. So you figure since you hurt yourself, you're going to hurt yourself more so that you hurt yourself less, basically.
Yeah, I mean, working out is more or less like slightly injuring yourself so that your body heals back just a little bit stronger and just keep doing that over and over again.
Yep, and it's worth it. I mean, in the long run, it's worth it. It's hard to stick with it, but it is good. So how long have you been doing that now?
I mean, it's been 2 long days, so really at the beginning of the struggle.
Okay. And do you have goals that you're trying to reach, like weight goal or strength goal, or are you just kind of going at it?
I'm not like a, I don't want to say goal person. I'm more of a general, I want to go in this direction kind of guy. So I've always been a chunky guy. I've always just had a gut. I've got a big barrel chest, skinny little legs, and a gut. That's just the way I've always been built.
Sounds sexy.
So just, yeah, yeah, it really gets the ladies going. That's why I'm so funny. I had to develop a personality. If you're going to be ugly, you better be able to talk to somebody.
All right. And speak truth, but just like that.
Yeah, exactly. So I want, when I first met my wife, I actually was down to like 214. And that was like the smallest that ever got. I'm walking around about 230 right now. So just trying to lose the gut. I'm going to work on my like shoulders and back so that I kind of get more of that triangle shape. And I want to just mostly lose weight because I do like, I'm really big into like extreme sports, like riding bicycles and dirt bike.
Right.
I like disc golf and that kind of stuff. So just all these general things that'll make my life easier. And then being in the construction trades, I use my body a lot. So it'll just help me have more energy and more strength to get through the day. And I mean, it should help me make more money because I'll be able to do things more effectively.
So you're going to write that, you're going to write off that gym membership because it's going to make you more productive.
I don't know. It's only $20 a month. Oh, okay. I think I'll probably let that one slide.
Yeah. But
yeah,
it's like what 4 gold passes. So for me right now, I am trying to pick up bass guitar. My youth pastor at my church was like, hey, we need someone to learn this. I'll teach you. So I was like, I mean, heck yeah, free lessons. I love music. He said it's easy. He lied. He said it was easy. I've practiced now. It's not easy. It's really hard. But I'm working on that. So that's taking up a bunch of my life. I bought an old bass guitar and an amp off of Facebook Marketplace for $70. So I was pretty pleased with that.
Perfect.
Like, you can.
Did it come with the cord?
It did not come with the cord, but I had the cord.
Oh, good, good, good.
So I had the cord. I borrowed it from my church, and now I'm going to keep it probably. But
I'm pretty sure there's 10 rules that apply to that there, Drake.
There might be, but we're not going to mention those. It's still for the church, okay? I paid my tithe. We'll just count it out of that.
Okay. All right. That's totally how it works.
Yep. I think that's how it works. For any non-Christians listening to this, please ignore what I just said there. Okay? That's not how it works. Anyway.
10% bass chord, 10%. This is a great investment.
Exactly. Yeah. And then because I got the guitar so cheap on Marketplace, I was like, you know what? I'm going to treat myself. So I went out and got a subwoofer for my little home studio thing. So I can practice the bass through that now instead of through the amp, which was basically a piece of crap. And then I got like a tuner, a couple different cords because my cords are all old and rusty. And just like some extra stuff for my studio. So I did that. And I just got it all today, and I was so excited, and it's amazing, and I'm very happy, and I'm just sitting around listening to music because it sounds so nice.
That's awesome. So you're going to have a nice little weekend. It's nice to get everything on a Friday, and then you can dive right into it.
It is. I was so glad because I'm, like, super busy right now. I'm doing 2 college classes. I think I mentioned that, but I'm writing essays 24/7, and, like, I've been working and stuff, so life's been crazy, but this weekend's kind of shaping up to be pretty nice. I've got some school stuff to work on, but I'm going to be able to chill and practice bass and all that good stuff for a bunch of the time.
So now, did you find a strap long enough so that you can sling that bass like right above your kneecap, or
maybe
one of them?
So I put the strap on, and my dad's like, I've seen bass players. That's supposed to be way lower. And then I was like, no, Dad, I watched a YouTube on it. I know a thing or two about this. So I've got it in the technically correct spot, and it's very uncomfortable, and I think I'm going to lower it.
Okay. So what color and what brand is this axe you've picked up?
So it is a Fender Squire J-Bass. And it is bright red.
Man, it doesn't get any more classic than that.
It is as classic. It is the classic. It's also as old as the classics. But
so are you going to be like the Buddy Holly looking guy in the ministry group or what?
I don't know. I'm going to be the Drake looking guy. I'm going to do my own thing.
So now I got to ask, does your youth pastor guy, is he one of the hipster style ones with the skinny jeans and a like crazy
totally
hat?
He is totally a hipster style. He has skinny jeans, flannels, Patagonia hats, and a Nalgene water bottle covered in stickers.
So, like, does he just follow straight, like, what's it, Jason Furtick with the skinny jeans?
I don't know. I think he likes to think he does his own thing, but he looks like every other hipster. But I love
him. That's
funny. I love him, and he's
great. I'm going to stand out by dressing like everybody else.
Yes, exactly.
I shouldn't really give fashion tips, though, because I, like, wear Crocs every day, so.
Dude, Crocs are amazing. Never be ashamed of your Crocs.
I'm not. They're a badge of honor.
I wear, this is a little bit shameful, but I wear Uggs, and I had Uggs before they were cool for boys, and.
Nah, it's not possible, because they're still not cool for boys, dude.
Well, then we're still before they were cool for boys. It's good. So I don't have, like, have you seen the Uggs that look more like just regular boots, like they have laces and stuff?
I can't say that I have.
Okay, so they make ones for guys that are, like, a little more sneakery. They just kind of look like, almost like Converse high top style, but Uggs. And those are super popular, like, in the city where I wear. Like, everybody has them. But the ones I got were before I knew what was cool, and I just wanted comfortable, warm shoes like my mom. And they are, they just look like the girls' Uggs. And they are the most amazing.
I'm trying not to make jokes about how they're still just for girls, and then you got to go and say how you want to dress like your mom.
No, I mean, it, okay, so I don't want to dress like my mom. I just want the fuzzy, warm boots like my mom, because they're amazing.
Hey, you do you, man. Whatever makes you comfortable.
I'm going to.
Play the bass, wear your Uggs.
I'm going to wear my Uggs to play bass, and I'm going to be the coolest person ever.
I like it. Just find a matching purse.
I should. I was making fun of one of the guys at my church because he had a purse, and he's not like, he's a total manly man. Like, he used to be military, and I think I kind of pissed him off because I was like, hey, nice purse. And he's like, this is an airman's bag. And it's like apparently the little bags that pilots carry in the military. And so apparently it's not a purse, but. I don't know. It looked like pretty darn like a purse to me.
I got a buddy that wears a fanny pack, and he's a bro.
And in like 1974.
Yeah, they're making a comeback. Whatever.
Yeah, and plus, if it's not cool, it might as well be practical. And fanny packs are freaking awesome for that.
Like, yeah, I'm a minimalist. I'm one of those guys that's got like the razor thin wallet. And I have a phone, a knife, and my wallet. That's about it.
Yeah. And so, okay, so this is, I heard this question come up on another podcast. What is the proper arrangement of phone, wallet, keys in your pocket? Like, which left, right, back, front?
Oh, so I'm right-handed to give insight to that. I'm right-handed, so I go wallet is back left. So when I'm carrying something or pick something up, it's already in my right hand, and then my left hand can go get the wallet to maximize efficiency.
Right. Okay. Brilliant.
Along with phone goes left front pocket, because you can't lean when you're in a car. You can't lean in to do that. So you can lean, or like you can't lean towards the window.
Oh.
So it's easier to get it out of my pocket on the left side, and then also used to do a lot of Craigslist deals, so I have a permit to carry. So also, if I ever needed to get my phone out for a flashlight or something, I always have my right hand if I have my side piece on me.
Okay.
I carry that back right. And then miscellaneous is right front pocket. So then I have knife on that side and like whatever. I don't really have anything in my pockets other than that.
Okay. Cool.
And when I say knife, it's because I'm a general contractor and I just need to like cut plastic or cut paper or clean my fingernails or whatever.
That's just what a murderer would say. We know you're out there murdering people with knives, Datsun.
Don't tell anybody.
All right, I won't. I don't think anyone's going to listen to this, so you're safe.
Good.
All right.
Good.
So my parents are getting home soon, so I better wrap it up. So cool, thanks. Man. Yeah, thanks for coming on, and that was good fun. So hopefully we can do this again.
Yeah, had a ton of fun again.
Yeah. All right. See you, Datsun, and see everyone else. Bye.
Bye.